Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. Several members of Ghana's national boxing team, nicknamed the Black Bombers, have qualified for the Tokyo Olympics in July. Yawa Fusu-Larbi visited the Black Bombers at the Accra Sports Stadium, and he joins us now for an update. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Ghana's boxers have begun a stringent process of training ahead of the Olympic Games in Tokyo. And here at the DG Hathramani Sports Hall at Accra Sports Stadium, the boxers have been going through training and exercising, getting ready for the task ahead in 3 months. Kuchufuya Sari is head coach of the Black Bombers.
We are going through the normal training programs. We are only intensifying. We know it has been a long time we won medal at the Olympics, and we wanted to go to this Olympics to bring home a medal. So we are working very hard. It has been from the time that the president released the contact sports because of the pandemic, and we've been consistent up to date at the sports hall. Very soon, if things go as we expect, we'll be going to camp and then keep improving our level. So we are working very hard, determined, and all the boxers are very they are all committed, and they wanted to achieve something for themselves as well as for the nation.
The last time Ghana won a medal at the Olympics was in 1992, which is some 29 years ago. How hopeful are you that there will be a medal from your team for Ghana?
Yeah, the hope is we have very talented boxers in terms of Samuel Techi, Suleimanu Tete, and Shaku Same. They all have background into boxing, and they are very, very good. They can do everything that others are doing. They know all-round boxing techniques and tactics. All they need is the proper condition in terms of the good food, in terms of good care, in terms of physio. We have doctors around them, psychology, all those things that they international or other countries are doing.
One of the qualifiers, Shaku Samir, whose older brothers, Basti and Issa, were all Olympians for Ghana, hopes he can get to the Olympic Games and do better than his brothers did.
Although my brothers have achieved a lot, you know, by winning a medal at African level and even some world tournament, they have won a medal, but they went to, they participated at the 2008 Olympics, I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't win a medal. Yeah. It was only Basti who won only one fight there. Yeah. So I want to make a difference there, you know, by winning a medal. Yeah, I want to achieve something. What they couldn't do, I want to, you know, do that for them.
Yeah. Now, when you speak about doing what they couldn't do, doesn't that put pressure on you, knowing that, you know, they have worked in the path that you are trying to walk on?
Doesn't put that much pressure on me, because they're always by my side. They stand by me. They always, because they have the experience. They have passed through. So they know what's in. So they always give me a guideline, you know, advising me, giving me tips, how I'm going to go about it, you know. So although it's not that easy, because I'm going to meet champions. Yeah. I also see myself as a champion. So yeah, doesn't put much pressure on me.
It has been 51 odd years since Ghana won a medal in boxing, and albeit being so good at boxing at the professional level, at amateur level, there hasn't been too much to write home about. These boxers want to change it, and one of them is Samuel Techi.
Oh, now that it's 3 months to the Olympics, now, like I told you, when I'm home, I cannot sleep, because after the country, I'm going to bring good in the country. When I'm home, I cannot sleep. I train hard. I train at my club. I train also here. So I cannot sleep. I must train and bring the gold in my country.
Now, when you say you're bringing gold, doesn't that put pressure on you? Because for a country like Ghana that has never won gold at the Olympics, it is a huge thing to promise gold.
No, as me, as a good boxer, it didn't bring pressure on me, but it told me to train more, and it told me to do my preparation well. That didn't put pressure on me, but it told me to train more.
I know you are very young. You've been dreaming about this. What would it mean for you?
I'm very young, but I look at them. I look at Olympics 2008, 2012, 2016, and now it's 2020. I look at them always, and you know, I know myself. Every champion knows himself. If a champion said he'll do something, he know what he's standing on it. So I know what I'm standing on it. I know I can do it, and when I'll do it, I must train hard. If you don't train, you cannot do it. So I'll train hard and do it.
For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fosilabi in Accra.
My name is Shaku Samed, junior brother of Basi Samed Sasamed, a light heavyweight at the Ghana national team and an Olympic qualifier for 2020. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Kim Lewis, join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including U.S. President Joe Biden invites world leaders to a virtual summit on climate change as Earth Day is celebrated internationally. Biden hopes to reach deals with some of the world's largest greenhouse gas emitters. Don't miss Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. I'm telling the parents out there and the girls who are interested in boxing that please, parents, support your daughters in any sport, anything they would like, so that you do be the first, you do help them with the first blessing for the game. And the girls out there, please be disciplined and fear God first, because in fearing God there is where you get the knowledge of everything and the blessings. And please be authentic to yourself, believe in yourself, and always keep in mind that everything is possible.
Thank you for that inspirational message, Catherine, and good luck at the Tokyo Olympics. In African women's football, the inaugural season of the CAF Women's Champions League is scheduled to kick off later this year. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Abuja, where he reached the American head coach of Nigeria's national women's football team, Randy Waldrum.
I was excited to hear that the CAF is organizing this inaugural edition of the Women's Champions League. And I think it's great for women's football when we can get the top clubs together playing in a competition of this nature. I think it's going to be fantastic, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you think the CAF Women's Champions League will improve women's football in Africa or make more countries give priority to women's football?
I think any time you get the top teams competing against each other on a regular basis, it can only improve your football, whether that's in the men's game or the women's game. So certainly this will, I think, improve women's football in Africa, and hopefully it'll make more countries give a priority to women's football in general as we all continue to try to grow the game.
Do you also think women footballers from Africa have potentials to excel abroad?
I truly believe that women footballers in Africa have the potential to excel abroad. Certainly we've seen that already with players like Osceola, who's doing extremely well for Barcelona. Francisco Ortega has played abroad and in the U.S. and, you know, one of the top leagues in the world. So, and there's many others that are playing in Spain and Sweden in our top leagues already. So I certainly believe that there's the potential there to excel abroad, not only as individuals, but our teams, our national teams collectively. I certainly believe that Nigeria has the opportunity to become a world power, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to come on board and try to help cultivate an environment so we can achieve that goal.
That's Randy Waldrum, the head coach of Nigeria's national women's football team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. Now let's go to Kibera in Kenya, where women's football is being used to try and reduce soaring teenage pregnancies during the coronavirus lockdown. Parents and teachers in Kibera looked for a way to reduce the problem. Their idea was to form a ladies' football club to direct their energy in a healthy way. Brenda Molina reports from Nairobi.
In the heart of Africa's largest urban slum, Kibera, two amateur Kenyan football soccer teams, the Undugu Queens and the Queens Starlets, are playing a friendly game. The ladies' teams were formed as Kenyan authorities said teenage pregnancies jumped at least 40% during COVID lockdown measures. Founder and coach of the Undugu Queens Club, Laban Ouma, says the goal was to direct their energy in a healthy way.
The impact that this program gives to the girl is that it is protecting them from the ills within the social structure where we are living. We are living in an environment full of drug and substance abuse. We have early pregnancies too.
16-year-old Winfred Nyaboke joined the Undugu Queens in late 2020 after her 15-year-old best friend Ruth got pregnant. Kenya's schools have been closed during the pandemic to curb the spread of the coronavirus. But teenagers left at home while parents work led to a surge in teen pregnancies and school dropouts like Ruth. Nyaboke says Ruth refused to join the football team, deciding to play with boys instead and ended up pregnant. I decided to keep myself busy with football, she says. I knew it would keep me from falling into the same trap. The Undugu Queens practice every day of the week and have games every weekend. A parent of one of the players, Rose Nguli, sells snacks on the sidelines while the young women play football. She says the demanding schedule helps keep their daughter safe and healthy. She says they are very thankful when the girls are playing football because they will not leave the pitch to go and engage in destructive behavior. The football club also offers a mentorship program for schoolwork as well as access to menstrual health care products. But some players still become pregnant. 16-year-old Lavin Ondaki is back on the team after delivering her baby. She says she was forced to stop playing football after getting pregnant. But now that her baby is a bit older, Ondaki says she can play once again. The team's hard work appears to be paying off. The Undugu Queens are set to join the Nairobi County Women's Football League after the coronavirus suspension of sports events is lifted. Brenda Molina for VOA News, Nairobi.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more Olympic news, Tokyo Games Local Organizing Committee President Seiko Hashimoto said on Friday that an athletics test event scheduled for May 9th would probably be held without spectators due to a planned COVID-19 state of emergency in the Japanese capital. Organizers restarted test events this month after a long hiatus due to the pandemic. There has been a resurgence in coronavirus cases in Japan 3 months before the opening ceremony in Tokyo. Olympic organizers already have barred foreign spectators from attending the games because of the pandemic.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
More Olympic news. The top official for Team Great Britain, the appropriately named Mark England, says British athletes are likely to have COVID-19 vaccine jabs before traveling to Tokyo.
First of all, the rollout of vaccines in the UK and in a couple of other countries has been nothing short of miraculous, and the pace and the delivery of the vaccination program has been something which is, you know, nothing short of a miracle in terms of the number of people who've been vaccinated so far. So I think it's right now that, you know, we've always said, and rightly so, that key workers, and it's been not appropriate for us to lobby for any, you know, what we could term queue jumping, really. It's been right and appropriate that we haven't moved into that sphere all around, but given the rollout and given the government conversation now around opening up vaccinations for people over 20, for sure it looks likely that the team will be vaccinated beforehand. And I think that has a couple of positives. It obviously begins to protect protects British athletes, but it's also a very strong message to the Japanese people that the British delegation that's arriving in country is COVID-free and is healthy and is not likely to be impacting on their own domestic population at all. So, you know, we'll see how the discussions go over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and hopefully we'll have some good news for all athletes in the coming weeks.
That's Mark England, the chief of mission for Team Great Britain at the Tokyo Olympics.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ran the best quarter mile in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks.
Thanks, Falilat.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. Samson O'Malley joins us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of African sports action in Jacksonville, Florida, where the reigning Ultimate Fighting champion, Kamaruddin Usman, popularly known as the Nigerian Nightmare, will defend his welterweight title against George Masvidal this Saturday. It will be Kamaru Usman's fourth title defense and his second against George Masvidal in the main event. Usman dominated Masvidal in a unanimous decision in July 2020 within 6 days' notice, and he had to cut around 20 pounds and fly halfway around the world for the fight in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. The Nigerian Nightmare is riding on a 17-fight winning streak into this rematch, and he's confident of another victory.
I give credit where credit is due. He's a good fighter, which is why he's still around. He's been around for all these years because he's a good fighter. But I'm a great fighter. I'm an elite fighter. You know, there's a separation. There's levels to this, which is why, you know, look at my record. Look at his record. Look how many fights he's had, and look how many fights I've had. you know, to become champion and to continue to reign as champion. You know, the reason he's in this position right now is because I put him there. You know, he's a good fighter, very, very good fighter. I take nothing away from him. But there's levels to this, and I'm levels above.
Mixed martial art is beginning to gain popularity among African athletes with the likes of Francis Xavier Ngwanu from Cameroon, Israel Adesanya from Nigeria holding championship belts in different weight categories. I asked Ferdinand Ubom and Jerry Udo, two sports journalists based in Nigeria, what they make of the success by these Africans in mixed martial arts.
Well, it is good for the athletes individually, but for Africa, I don't think so. Maybe for the northern part of Africa or the southern part of Africa, where they tend to be more serious when it comes to sporting activities like this. But for East Africa and West Africa, the situation is bad. For Israel Adesanya, you agree with me that if not for the fact that his adopted nation stood by him, we Africans here, we are claiming the glory, particularly his country of origin, Nigeria. If we really want to make this work, is to ensure that we also have a tradition, we put a tradition in place where we can begin to train athletes at that level.
We are now gradually disintegrating from combat sports like boxing, judo, taekwondo, and now we're moving to the mixed martial arts. It's a good one for sports in Africa, and we have to say kudos to the two Nigerians talking about Kamaru and Adesanya, and the Cameroonian Ngamu. They've really done Africa proud. But how far would they be able to go? How far would they be supported? How well will the sports develop? Of course, this sport is supposed to be a yardstick for other sporting bodies in the continent to develop the sports in the continent.
In volleyball news, the Kenyan national women's volleyball team, Malkia Strikers, has received technical coaches from Brazil who will assist the team in preparing for the Tokyo Olympics. The inclusion of the technical coaches in the team is part of the International Volleyball Federation Empowerment Program in collaboration with Kenyan Volleyball Federation and Olympics Kenya. Head coach Mr. Luziomo Dimora speaks on the collaboration and contribution to Kenyan volleyball ahead of the 2020 Olympic Games.
So far we've seen a lot of good talent. Obviously, coaches are going to need to have the full collaboration of Coach Poe and his staff. Coach Poe Bitok has been doing a great job so far.
Staying with volleyball news, four teams secured their qualification to the second round of the 2021 Men's Club African Championship at the third and final day of the preliminary round on Thursday to join four other teams who previously made it to the quarterfinals. Esperance and CO Kelibia, both from Tunisia, Swilhi from Libya, Port Douala of Cameroon, Zamalek of Egypt, Kenyan Ports Authority, Ugandan Nemo Stars and GSU of Kenya are all jostling for semi-final sports. Nemo Stars Football Club of Uganda will look to become the first Ugandan club to reach the semi-finals of the African Club Championship. And for some of the players, they are hoping that they will not lose the quarterfinals as they did in the 2019 edition.
The camp is doing well. Everyone is prepared psychologically, physically. Everyone is fine. We're just waiting for the game to come. The Libyan team, generally, they, if you look at the Arabs, they play the same game, and we have played an Arab team. So basically, they don't have a lot to do. We can really give a run for their money.
We have been training together. These last 3 days we have had, we have been putting in the work. So I think we are just going to put our best and leave the rest to God. I think they're a good team, but so are we. We are prepared for them, so we are just going to put up a fight and see the best team we win.
Kenyan representatives at the African Women's Club Championship have also served off to a winning start in Tunisia. Paul Gitao, coach of Kenyan Pipeline, and David Longao, coach of Kenyan Prison, speaks on their experiences so far at the championships.
Not a very big match, but it was good for my players to adjust. Know that this is a competition and what they are supposed to do and what we are expecting. In fact, it is a very good eye-opener for us.
The important thing was to see how much you can avoid the mistakes that you're doing. I tried every player got a chance to play, so that we start preparing for the next matches, which are going to be even tougher. So for me, I'm impressed because we won 3-0. Winning is important. It doesn't matter the quality. But we are looking forward to now the second match. This one is gone. We're looking for the second match, which is after 2 days.
And now to table tennis, where Nigeria's teenage table tennis sensation Musa Mustafa has been ranked as the world's best in the boys under 11 by the International Table Tennis Federation. With this development, Mustafa has become the second African to be rated number one in the world after Hana Goda was in 2020 named the best under 15 girls in the world. The Abuja-based Mustafa was part of the Nigerian team that won the 2019 ITTF Junior Circuit in Ghana, and the World Table Tennis ruling body has also been monitoring the player in the last 3 years after he made his senior debut at the 2018 Nigerian Open in Lagos. In football news, the president of the Confederation of African Football, Patrice Motsepe, arrived in Cairo, Egypt, at the headquarters of the Continental Football Governing Body for the first time as CAF president on Thursday, accompanied by the General Secretary of CAF, Veron Musengo Omba, and Egyptian football officials. President Motsepe held several meetings, including meeting the Egyptian Minister of Youth and Sport, Ashraf Sobhi. President Motsepe again emphasized his desire to make the organization globally competitive when he had meetings with heads of departments of CAF administration at the headquarters in Cairo. In Uganda, former Ugandan football national team midfielder Mike Suleiman Mutyaba has petitioned the State House Anti-Corruption Unit over alleged mismanagement of funds met for the Ugandan Cranes players by the Federation of Ugandan Football Association President Moses Magogo. While addressing the media in Kamawukia, Mutyaba said he has now resorted to legal action.
The Federation recently published a list trying to divert us, or footballers, or the money we are demanding, but we are still focused on the 1.2 billion shilling that we are demanding from the Federation of Uganda, the Federation of Uganda Football Association. That money is supposed to be paid to each player. That is, the government releases 50 million shilling every month. They're supposed to be paid to Uganda Cranes player per month. Today, players are demanding for 24 months. Those are 2 years without payment.
Early this month, the retired KCCA player held a peaceful demonstration at the Fufa House in Mengo, calling for Magogo's resignation, and was beaten by the security guards and detained at the Old Kampala police station, and blamed the Federation president for mixing politics with football administration.
Nobody's going to bring out his face because they have been intimidated by the Federation so many times. It is hard to find a footballer coming up to claim for him. I think we are all aware as Ugandans, from the clubs, junior leagues, national team, nobody claims for money, for payments. I don't know how it is possible to be a football leader as well as being in the NRM retreat. I think that is very wrong.
Elsewhere in South Africa, hopes of seeing Hervé Renard become the Bafana Bafana head coach appear to be dented after the coach denied applying for the plump job. In an interview with South Africa Metro FM, Hervé Renard vehemently denied ever applying for the vacant Bafana Bafana post, labeling the report as disrespectful to the Saudi community. Renard said he was very happy in Saudi Arabia, where he's presently coaching, while also confirming that he has a running contract with their football association. Staying with football news, Nigerian international and Leicester City striker Kelechi Iheanacho has achieved a new personal goal-scoring record in a single Premier League season after hitting the target in the first half of Leicester City's 3-0 victory over West Bromwich Albion at the King Power Stadium on Thursday evening. Kelechi Iheanacho's latest strike is his 9th Premier League goal this season, one more than his previous best of 8 that he managed for Manchester City in the 2015-2016 campaign. The 24-year-old has now found the back of the net 16 times in all competitions for the Foxes, the highest he has ever scored in a single campaign. Kelechi Iheanacho teammate and fellow Nigerian Wilfred Ndidi speaks on Kelechi's performance so far.
Yeah, he just can't stop scoring at the moment, but I'm very happy for him, very proud, and I just want him to keep doing the thing and keep scoring, help the team, so it's good for us all. The team was brilliant, and I'm happy we got the points, so it's good for us.
And to North Africa, where Egypt's under-23 coach Swaki Garib said on Thursday that the Egyptian Football Association have submitted a second request to include forward Mohamed Salah in the squad participating in the Tokyo Olympics next summer. Garib told the local radio station that they had sent an official request to Liverpool following the Faroes game against Comoros in the 2021 African Cup of Nations qualifiers, which took place on the 29th of March, but the Premier League club requested for more details. Egypt were drawn in a difficult group alongside heavyweight Spain, Argentina, and Australia.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malle. And that wraps up the April 23rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.